This is not nice. Okay.
Instant regret.
Yeah.
Welcome. So what? When did we meet? We met what? Three years ago when you were at Bonham.
No, 2 years ago.
Shit, time flies.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been forever, but that could be the late nights talking from yesterday.
Yes. But actually, I remember you. You were coming with shots. That's
yeah,
why I remember you.
the good old boomerang.
With the tray of shots.
And I'm sure Deco's not happy to hear this, and they will hear this, that
okay, but
I go for my smoke break, but no one smokes at Deco.
Ah.
Like, at that time, no one smoked at Deco. So we were legally allowed for a 5-minute smoke break. Oh.
Ah.
And I would have
thank
long
you for not smoking.
So I wouldn't smoke, and then I'd bring over shots for you guys, and then bring it back, because technically, we're not allowed to drink at work, but we're allowed to accept gifts.
Okay.
I can be
say
bought.
Hi to Deco.
Hi, Peter. Banjé, you knew what was going on the entire time.
Anyway.
I told you immediately. So, it's
okay,
all good, baby.
Sorry.
No, like, they still do it here and there. It's kind of the luxury of being the inner city bar, right? And now you're at Goldfinch.
I'm at Goldfinch, yes.
How many times do you get boomerangs?
Never.
It's because it's a restaurant. It would be weird to walk into
exactly,
a restaurant with a tray of shots in
why.
Uniform, tie, dress
no,
shirt,
actually,
Deco put across your
no,
chest.
No, but actually we have the very good friends of us from Esme. They bring us food, which I think is even better.
That's true. You get fuel for the shift.
Exactly. Very
amazing.
Nice food.
And so Goldfinch, that's kind of an interesting background coming from Italy, but now working in a Danish Chinese place.
Yeah.
Let's be real, like, it's very good food. Very,
yeah,
very
good
food. But authenticity is barred because of ingredient sourcing.
Yeah.
You can't be that authentic.
Hmm.
In that volume that you guys do.
Yeah, it's like we focus on still on Chinese ingredients for the bar. So
yeah, yeah. And so in your opinion, on the menu that you guys have. It's you and Lenka making the menu,
me
correct?
Me and Lenka, yes.
Yeah. So Lenka is manager and your assistant?
Yes, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Not that title
Megan
really matters.
Lenka is taking,
she's taking
the worst part, and I'm having the funny one.
Yeah,
like,
that's me at Victor. I was like, like, hey, Edvin, you want to do something? You want to stay the manager and get paid 10 kroner an hour more-ish, I bet?
Exactly. And
then I do all the fun.
Yeah, no.
It's like, yeah, that sounds great. I like the money.
No, I also know that. I also have to say that she's much better doing some stuff, and I'm like, okay, I prefer. It's not only for
it's
fun.
It's teamwork.
Yes, it's yeah. Very good teamwork.
So, just to do a bit of background, where in Italy are you actually from? Because we've been over it here and there late nights though, years ago.
Yes. So I'm from Turin, which is in the north.
Torino,
yes, from a typical city from Juventus.
Yeah.
But yeah. Torino is even a good football team. So
yeah, yeah.
Don't forget about Torino. La
never
grande Torino. Cheers.
Grande whiskey.
La grande Torino. Grande whiskey.
So it's only, it's 20 minutes to 1 in the afternoon. And got a Bolivariez, got a Michters.
Yeah.
With the Goldfinch menu, I'm actually kind of curious what you guys' division of, I guess, simplicity. You guys have some pre-batches, that some more chemical design work, but then you also have some that are built, no? Or is all of it pre-batched, more or less?
All of them are pre-batched, basically.
Okay.
But because the one on the menu are all like, there is still prep behind.
Yeah.
So we cannot really build it. So
okay.
All the cocktails you see on the menu, they have to be pre-batched. Because there is some stuff that you cannot just build, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry for my English.
No, it's
so it's
perfect.
Like just on the menu. Then if you want some other classes, we can do it. We just try to avoid like juices, fresh juices, or citruses.
Yeah,
this kind
of
stuff.
We understand the cost work in this hemisphere about it, but to other parts of the world, especially the U.S. And for example Australia, more readily available logistically. Over here, we have to take from Spain. And the issue is that the quality control comes from each plantation individually. So sometimes your citrus, you'll get limes the size of tennis balls, and sometimes you'll get limes the size of bad example grapes.
Yeah, exactly. don't think about this example, but it is.
Yeah, but so quality control is super, super difficult, and that when you're doing pre-batches and everything, consistency is everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it goes all wrong, and you have to throw the whole batch out.
That's why instead of citruses, we use acid solutions, or like, you don't really see like lemon or lime in our cocktails.
No.
Just say one or two, maybe, because they're really like, they have to, because they're pretty sour. So.
But was the DNA behind that mentality, especially for a Chinese concept that's like readily available citrus in general? Like, was it Harry that implemented that, or was that the partners wanting to do that?
I don't know. I think it's kind of an idea that grew up during the cocktail development.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to be also more ecological, kind of. So we tried not to import something that Denmark is not famous for having a plantation of oranges or lemons.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, why should we? If we can try, we can use what we have here. And also because I think flavors in Chinese flavors are really approachable with other stuff. Like, we use a lot of teas, so you don't really need to add more flavor.
There's plenty of cultural ingredients that add flavor compared to the Danish palate.
So you can always find the balance with the other stuff. So
are you guys using Danish teas, or are you guys doing imported teas?
I think both. I'm not sure now.
No. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I think they are mostly Chinese teas.
Which is cool. Like, it's good to have some authenticity, especially in a concept that is not normal for Sovino. Like, Sovino is the parent company that owns both the restaurant that I'm a bar manager at and where she's at. And they've now branched into Asian concepts, which is very interesting. Now we have the Thai concept that they're getting traction, but it's going to be a long process real estate wise. And Goldfinch was the hype of the hype, winning Copenhagen's or Denmark's best restaurant, right?
Yeah,
for Bartender's Choice.
Yes, we won best restaurant and best new cocktail bar. So we were really happy about
it. Best new cocktail bar before you were open.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Maybe
we are so good. It was only private parties.
Really nice girl behind the bar.
Yes, exactly.
I have to be honest. This helps.
Hey,
sometimes women help.
Oh, it helps all the time.
But also,
it puts the guys in their fucking place.
Yeah.
That's why there needs to be
a
balance.
You guys, we don't need you.
You guys make no sense.
Yeah.
You guys are stupid.
See you.
But we didn't know we're stupid. That's called being stupid. Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Wow, that took a gender turn. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
that didn't happen.
No.
No offense to anybody on that. But also kind of offense. There's a reason why the stereotype exists. So with Goldfinch and the whole Italian background, so you have a Polish girl managing an Italian girl.
She's Slovakian.
Slovakian, sorry. Lenka.
Don't confuse. Sorry, Lenka.
But Lenka, I've heard plenty of Lenkas from Poland as well, but it's always hard to remember the backgrounds of everybody. Yeah. But
an Italian.
We'll have.
So it's
yeah, you're from Venice, right?
But you know, it's like you know, a Caporale, and we always say it's like a Caporale and Eric Lorenz. You know, there is Slovakian and Caporale is Italian, so it's like a good couple, good match. I think it works.
Yeah, and I guess you have all the time in the world to talk about that.
We say it all the time.
You're like, ha 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 ha. Fifth joke today about the same thing.
I'm proud to be the Caporale, to be honest.
Do they call you Caporale?
No, not yet.
I'll come in and start calling you that, and they'll be like, huh?
Hey, Capo.
Hey, Capo. So in terms of like the cultural restaurant that you're at right now, do you think that there's some similarities that you've been able to draw? And I don't know if you did any like market research about how Chinese and everything is like doing etiquette and serving, if you've thought about that before, or if you're just going full like Nika competition style. It's everything's on the fly. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm gonna make it work.
I think it is the second one. It's like I don't overthink.
No,
it's like just.
Well, studying and overthinking are two different things.
Yeah, it's like I'm studying, but like I think I'm more studying about flavors and techniques and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then what is service is just.
Yeah.
Right at the
which
moment.
Works very easily with Danes. Danes are quite easy to please in general. Like.
I mean, you can
tell when they choose to not be pleased.
Yes, but when you have to deal with the Chinese food, Chinese flavors, it's not that easy. But even for me, it was really kind of really new world. So I just discovered a lot of new flavors, and which now I'm really in love to. But also to explain to Danish people also all the kind of techniques we use. We also use a very tiny glasses, very nice glasses from Sweden. And I think shout out to Bobo really quick.
everyone, it's a guilty pleasure love because you guys are expensive.
Yeah, but they're really nice. But they're kind of small, so they also like Danish people are like, ah, oh, but this is too small. They expect more, or maybe you balance the flavor, and they're like, okay, maybe I would like more alcohol in this. But it's like no, it's like the normal quantity a cocktail should have, but they don't really feel it because the cocktail is actually balanced.
Well, yeah, because the cocktail is a cocktail.
Exactly. So
working pre-batch is the best way for making sure that every single drink is balanced, right?
Yeah.
For those that don't work with pre-batch, then. Work with I'm mixing, not, right?
Yeah, like there are things that has to be pre-batched. So.
Yeah, I mean, when you get to a certain point, like, yes, you have all the ingredients with you and you know all your spirits on the shelf. And if you don't change your spirit list every 3 months, then there's no point. And if you're a consistent restaurant, then you're not going to change your spirit list for every three months. Or like bring in a spirit just because this one cocktail is going to be better with it. And so when you get that out the window, of course, pre-batching is going to then be your accessible route for maximizing flavor, maximizing those.
Yeah.
But have you ever thought about like having some, like for example, higher ethanol content spirits, where you then have a bit more edge to it, to then bring it that flavor of alcohol is in this.
What does it mean? Sorry.
Where are the W sets together?
you
know when that you get those sharp alcohol flavors coming through the cocktail, basically coming across unbalanced.
Si.
Just to balance towards guests like that. For example, doing a Mai Tai where you put OFTD in a pre-batch, but you can tell that
it's strong.
There's something in there that's stronger.
Yeah, it's not our style, but.
But it might be.
Sometimes you need it.
I think one on the menu doesn't hurt, right? But
yeah,
you guys have only
on
what? Eight cocktails on the menu?
We have 10, but I think the one that can be this kind of is it's between a Boulevard. It's between Manhattan and then we rebalance it with our Amaro.
Toronto.
No, we did our own Amaro with just plain spirits. And then we infuse the ginseng, all the Chinese roots, and other stuff. And then we balance the flavor of Manhattan with this Amaro. So it tastes like more boozy.
So what is the name on the menu?
Metropolis. Because we thought about, okay, Manhattan.
So if you ever
want to
try a boozy drink,
go
for Metropolis.
The Amaro is really like healthy. If you don't drink too much, of course.
Well.
Because you have all medicinal roots from China. Because Chinese, they use roots for medicine, so but it's not actually this kind of punchy
it's still
ethanol.
Boozy, but it's not
boozy, but it's not,
it's barrel boozy,
instead
of like clear spirit, sharp.
If we go to clear spirits, we have a nice selection of Japanese stuff.
Cannot wait to hear about you guys using a lot of different baijus.
Yes, we use baijiu, but baijiu I think is good alone, but we still have a really nice cocktail based on baijiu. And Amaretto Adriatico.
Ooh.
The brand.
Yes. Shout out to Evan.
Amaretto Adriatico Bianco, which is fantastic for cocktails. And it really helps to balance the strong flavor of baijiu. Yes, baijiu is like this really hard stuff.
It's a Chinese grappa. If you're based in Europe, it's Chinese solid fermentation grappa.
And look, I drank a lot of grappa in my life, but baijiu is harder because actually it's based on sorghum, which is a spear grain, blah blah blah. So it's like harder. Harder in flavor, aromas, harder than this whiskey.
No, like you can get some really high alcohol percentage out of a solid state fermentation.
Yeah.
It's remarkable that you can just more or less bury it with some air around it and just let it become gross.
And actually, it's really hard to balance. The baijiu is really hard to balance, and the Adriatico helped.
I loved working with Beranger about these kinds of spirits. When you talk about like some of the hardest and cultural spirits, we actually compared the fermentation state to pit fermented Jamaican rum.
Okay.
So like because of the way it's fermented, is the joke in Jamaican rum is, can you taste the dead goat?
Oh, okay.
Which is, funny. If you think about OFTD and Ray Nephew, and there's this high ethanol base as well as this column distilled, but then there's this like death.
Yes.
There's something off.
And you're like, something's going to happen after this.
Yeah. And you met me during my phase of like drinking all rum. Anything in front of me, I'm like, 70%?
Yeah.
Basic. Horrible idea. Horrible time in my life. That was when I want to watch the world burn just after like three shots of that.
But they're amazing daiquiris with Ryan Nephew.
Yeah, but it's amazing. Like, it still warms, well, physically and mentally warms your heart in a way. You're like, But in general, the way Beranger had described it, or at least elaborated on how to palate those notes before I did the WSETs with you, was that because of the fermentation state, because it's in the soil and things like that, you're going to have a different depth of flavor that you don't see in many other spirits.
Yeah.
You get it in mezcal.
Yeah.
And not just because of the smokiness, but because they do the grinding and the pit.
Yeah.
The pit cooking. So that earthiness, and it's very interesting to see it go around the world simultaneously culturally. You have it with malting whiskey.
Yeah.
Malted whiskey has it. Then you have Jamaican rum. Jamaican rum was the easiest comparison for me. Of course, different flavor notes altogether to the sorghum, but doing baijiu.
Yeah, but yes,
you
really
can see kind of
like
what I'm talking
about. Similar.
Oh, shit. I didn't ever think about the cultural context here. You have whiskey. There's not so much about gin because gin was purely medicinal. Yeah. It was not, I guess, Jennifer was purely medicinal, then gin was diluted.
Just all.
I mean, that's the easy one. You are drinking water Jennifer back in the day.
Can I have a water martini?
Oh, Haive.
So yes, I got what you. I think I got what you're saying. Like, same kind of.
Just trying to piece and connect those flavors to someone who hasn't tried baijiu, for example. It's.
I would say definitely like a huge rum as well.
Yeah, you get these agricole notes, but of course it's not that. It's a solid state fermentation. It's blocks. Yeah. It's blocks of like moss covered and not moss, but mold covered sorghum after it's been malted, or I guess opened up.
What makes every baijiu really different, because they really taste so different, each one. So one can be higher in ethanol, so you just get this.
And I mean, alcohol. We don't, in Europe, we at least in Denmark, and I guess probably most of Northern Europe knows nothing about this. It's the third biggest consumed spirit, or third most consumed spirit in the world, if not
before
the second.
Before whiskey, more than whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think because Chinese are a lot.
Yeah, but it's also
okay, we have to think about it.
It's their whiskey as well. So, the crazy part is that I would say, in general, no one knows baijiu at all, outside of, and most people don't enjoy it. But you have to kind of remember that because it's put in the ground to ferment.
Yeah,
there's terroir. Which I find super fascinating. I can nerd out for days.
I would love to know more, maybe to go and see how they make it.
It would be fun to just travel really around, try different regions, locals.
Yeah, because it actually depends on which region it comes from. It really varies the way they're making or the flavor or everything. So.
But I'm happy that, because you guys aren't using Ming River, or you
are? We have it because it's the most approachable for guests who never tried baijiu.
It's a like pineapple Haribo gummy bears.
Exactly.
That's what it tastes like.
So it's always like, okay, let's make the first step with the Ming River, and then we go for the real one.
And the real one, people are like, mm.
Yeah. There's one which actually smells like horse. It's like,
yeah, the like dead goat.
It's not really nice, but then I really like the flavor.
Cool.
But also, it's always associated with the food. They always drink it during the meal.
Yeah.
So food is always a main part of this.
Okay. I actually didn't know the cultural application, if it was like the after dinner, we're going to do,
for example,
Japanese do sake bam.
Yeah. You know, no, they do it during the meal because, and actually they have this tiny shot, which is 10 milliliters of shot, and they drink it with the beer, Chinese beer, rice lager. So during the meal, they drink shot of baijiu and food. So it actually helps to clean the palate, digest all the fat food, all these sauces that they have, and then keep on
medicine.
Eating and drinking.
Yes. Medicine.
Still medicine.
No,
it's medicine. I'm selling this like I'm fighting.
No, but it's, like I said, I can nerd out about this for a very long time because I know absolutely nothing. Like
I still need to know.
Because of Deco, I got the tip of it. Like Bange would be prepping in an I heart baijiu t-shirt.
And
I'm
okay.
I'm like, what is this magical liquid you are not teaching me about?
But me too. I found out baijiu in Goldfinch. I didn't know about it before.
No, and I remember I came over like super happy when you were still at Bonham. I was like, have you tried baijiu? It's so weird. I like.
And now I'm an expert. No, I'm not an expert.
No, but in terms of like most places in Denmark, you're definitely at the top 5% of people who know, bar liquor shops that have baijiu or import baijiu themselves.
Yeah. No, actually, we just can get baijiu from a guy from Sweden, who is the only one who can really import only real Chinese baijiu because it's not really easy to find.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're not selling baijiu so easy.
No,
that's why also it's really
market.
Hard to find around. I think Ming River had some kind of deal.
Ming River has a deal with, I believe, Yules, and then they have a portfolio as well.
Yeah, you know.
There's a portfolio that backs the importation. But on another note, right now, we're now at the transition of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Ming River is not the most popular spirit.
No.
But what are you seeing right now in Goldfinch? Because I know what I'm seeing in my restaurant, but what are you seeing in yours being the next popular spirit coming? And in Denmark, it usually cycles every 2 years between gin, rum, whiskey. And then you get like a 3 month period of cognac.
Should I say just between the most or like just one brand?
Just the spirit, but if you have
just
a brand
the spirit,
theory,
I would
go
say
for
just
it.
Whiskey. And then on side of whiskey, I would say Japanese whiskey. Not because of
Right?
Japanese whiskey.
I'm getting some regular guests asking for Japanese whiskey. And I'm like, what do you know about whiskey. Japanese whiskey? I mean, you and I know about it now.
Yeah, but it's pushing hard. Okay. And then I would say also Amaretto, Adriatico, the Bianco.
Yeah, we're having an issue with that right now, Invicta, because we do volume. And I'm going to expose our prices just because our prices. So think of it this way. Pernod Ricard has Disaronno.
Yeah.
We get 79 kroner.
Okay.
Adriatico, you know what our prices?
Yeah, I know the prices.
No, you know what our prices?
No.
160. It's like 169.
It's a double.
I was like.
But that's why it depends on the venue, you know? Like, I think it's the.
Oh, yeah.
It's pushing on in a mixology bar with not that much volume. Like, I don't know. They really use it in Bird. We use it a lot in Goldfinch. And they use it in Berlin. I can see also Difford's guy. They just published a new classic cocktail recipe. So, but you always think about the,
think
about the venue.
Yeah. Definitely. Especially with the modern palette. But We have the next guest actually here now, so I'm going to serve him a beer. But
of course, serve him a beer.
Get this man a beer.
He's waiting.
Yeah, but sorry to keep you waiting. But Enrique, if you could tell us actually your most hectic service at Goldfinch.
At Goldfinch? Oh my God. I think
it's whiskey related, isn't it?
No, it's not.
No, okay.
It is, but like in general.
No?
Can I just tell this story?
Yeah, tell the story.
Okay,
I'll be right back.
The story was like, was me and Lenka, one of the big, I think we did the record this day. We served 190 guests in a night. And then suddenly, just the dishwasher broke. And we just start to see all the water coming in the bar. So it was Lenka trying to take out all the water from the bar. Then suddenly we got fire in the kitchen, in the prep kitchen behind. So we have to evacuate all the people from the restaurant. Fire workers came. They just blocked all Kogesluther. So we just came out with the shots for everyone and wine. After that, fireworks were like, okay, everything is fine. You can go back inside. Kitchen start again the service. Amazing work, team of the kitchen. Serve again all the dishes, everything. Bar still flooding everything. Like, Lenka, I have a video of Lenka pulling
go
out
away,
water.
Go away, water.
From the bar. And then we still did the fucking record of Goldfinch. So, and then we closed, and the end of the night was like the dog of my colleague peeing in the middle of the restaurant. And we looking at us like, this dog just peed in the middle of the restaurant? And we were like, exhausted, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. And this was the record.
This
night.
is a service.
But this is professional.
Yeah, man. Those crazy nights. I love it. But that one's a new one for me. I have still yet to have the full pipe breakdown with water everywhere and then running a service.
We still had a lot of fun with the guests at the bar, like, because I was talking with the guests while I was hiding Lenka behind.
You're also the queen of Nika, right?
No,
you're have you heard of the phrase Ichigo Ichi?
Exactly. a bit of Italian, a bit of Japan.
I don't remember the meaning, but I remember it was something about being present and
in the moment.
In the moment, but not being able to replace this moment.
And being Italian.
And then being Italian. Yeah, oh man. That sounds like the perfect ravioli of a service.
I love it. Nice. I will always remember.
No kidding.
No. At all.
It's good that you're not bartending in Ibiza anymore, because
no,
at least
Ibiza,
now you remember.
Ibiza is not legal to tell all the stories. I cannot. I'm sorry.
No, I want.
It's not legal.
You have to come visit her at Goldfinch to get those stories personally.
Yeah,
no cameras.
Only
no cameras.
Person, yes.
She'll still have the sunglasses on.
Exactly. Sunglasses were my regular uniform.
Perfect, Enrique. So, cheers to the.
Cheers. Thank you.
End of that. Thank you so much for coming and sharing all those anecdotes and stories. We got a little nerdier than I'd expected, but I like having a mental sparring partner in this spirit as well.
Yeah, we are amazing.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Have a good one, guys.